Hey there, Mama, and welcome back to the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast, episode number 120. I'm Emily McDermott, and I am here beside you on this journey as we work together to declutter your home, head, and heart. Have you ever had a case of the Sunday scaries? That's when you are really not looking forward to the week ahead. And I have had that more times than I would like to admit. That's why I'm really excited about today's episode. I have a return guest, Lauren White from the Intentional Edit podcast. And Lauren and I talk about several things, including the weekend routines that help set her up for a great week ahead. And Lauren, as I mentioned, is the host of the Intentional Edit podcast. She is a professional home organizer and simplicity enthusiast, and she helps us stay on top of our busy schedules, reduce wasteful spending, get the chores done efficiently, and keep the home tidy with less effort. And Lauren actually has a couple great freebies to share, including a freebie all about her weekend routine. So make sure that you check that out. So what do you say? Grab the notebook and pen and let's dive into today's conversation with Lauren White. Hey there, Mama. Are you tired of all the stuff crowding your home, calendar, and mind? Do you wish you could say goodbye to the endless to-do list running around in your head? Want to declutter but don't know where to start? You're in the right place. Welcome to Moms Overcoming Overwhelm, where you will find proven and practical solutions to declutter your home, head, and heart. Hi, I'm Emily, a wife, boy mom, and simplicity seeker. I struggled to get pregnant and felt overwhelmed until I discovered decluttering could create the physical and emotional space I needed to become a mom. Now, two kids later, I've transformed my life and motherhood by developing simple systems around decluttering, capsule wardrobes, kid stuff, cleaning and tidying, meal planning, time management, and more, and I can't wait to share them with you. If you're ready to reclaim the time and energy you crave, be present with your kids, and finally enjoy the life and motherhood you so deserve, let's kick overwhelm to the curb, shall we? Grab your lukewarm coffee, your notebook and pen, and clear off some counter space. Let's do this. Well, hi, Lauren. Thank you so much for coming back to the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast. I'm really excited to talk to you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and see you and record this.
Yeah. So I have been inviting some of my favorite guests back for round two, and you were definitely on the top of my list because I just feel like you are incredibly helpful for the overwhelmed moms out there that want to declutter and simplify and organize. And anytime I can get someone else's take on the approach, or they have kind of a different way of doing it than I do, I just love getting that guidance, because sometimes I'm worried my listeners are like, okay, Emily, I know what you think. Like, I want to hear from someone else. So I'm very excited that you're here today. And for those of the listeners that did not listen to our first interview together, could you briefly introduce yourself and tell us about you and your family and just the women you serve and kind of how you spend your time?
Absolutely. So yeah, my name is Lauren and I am here from the Intentional Edit podcast, and my website and my business, it's all called Intentional Edit. Kind of makes it easy to find because just search Intentional Edit and something will pop up. But I was a teacher early on in my professional career, and I also owned another small business at one time. And I kind of combined those two things because my friends and family were always asking me for help with organization and like home projects and anything along the lines of simplicity and making life easier. And people kept saying to me, you should make this a business. You should get paid to organize people's homes. And I was like, I don't think that's a real thing. But fast forward many years into the future, and I did make it a business. And I did that for a few years, where I was actually going into people's houses and organizing. So I was a professional organizer. And then that kind of organically morphed into virtual coaching and education and different programs that I offer, because I wanted to help people on a larger scale and reach more people in an efficient way. So now I have programs and courses and all kinds of things online where really busy families can benefit from learning how to properly declutter and organize and anything along the lines of making life easier and simplifying the day to day. That's really what I'm all about.
Yeah, and I'm going to make sure to link in the show notes to our previous conversation, which was all about meal planning. And anytime anyone ever asks me about meal planning, I usually send them your way because what I love is just this concept that you talk about all the time, intentional routines. And like we'll talk about that in the episode today, but just like what is so important about making it intentional so we don't have to think about it in the future. And so meal planning, Lauren's your gal, anything organizing for sure. And I would love it because we're going to talk about this time scarcity issue that the women that I work with, and I'm sure you work with, the number one thing that I hear all the time, I don't have time to declutter. I don't have time to organize. I don't have time to fill in the blank. And I'm curious if there was ever a time in your motherhood where you kind of had that mindset of, oh my gosh, I can't get all this done. There's just too much to do. And how you were able to shift your mindset around time scarcity. Because I feel like that is one of the biggest roadblocks, mental roadblocks that women face when they're like, okay, yeah, I want to declutter, but like, when is it going to happen? So can you tell us about maybe where you had that mindset previously, and then you were able to shift it.
Well, I will give you an example. This might surprise you of something that actually happened probably 2 months ago, where you can look through my house and you will say, wow, like it's very organized. There's not clutter all over the place because decluttering and getting rid of things when they're no longer useful to us is a practice that I put in place years ago. But something happened where when I explain this to you, you'll be like, okay, I get it. But I needed to really organize my closet and not just organize because it was organized. If you opened the door, you would look inside and you would see that it was color coded and summer had one area and winter had another area. And you could pull open the drawers and everything was folded nicely and I could find what I needed. So the organization wasn't the problem. It was there was way too much stuff. And I had an overabundance of clothing and different pieces and shoes that I wasn't wearing. And what had happened was, about 3 years ago, we moved from a climate that was 6 months out of the year, over 100 degrees, and no real winter or time when we needed winter type clothing. And then now I live in a place that has four seasons, snow throughout the winter, and the needs of what we wear changed completely. So over the first 3 years of living here, I was wearing what I was previously wearing a lot less, and I was increasing the amount of sweatshirts and sweaters and pants and those kinds of things. So I was just adding to what I already had without taking the time to get rid of the things that I wasn't wearing or do a purge of these things that I wasn't wearing anymore. And I think a lot of people can relate to that because significantly, like during the pandemic, a lot of people went from needing a large work wardrobe to now being able to wear sweats and working from home. And so, anytime that your needs change, or maybe you go from working outside of the house to being a stay-at-home mom, and the clothing that you wear changes, and it's not that you don't like the old pieces, it's just they kind of get pushed to the back because you're not using them anymore. So I had this situation, even as someone who purges regularly, who knows how to do these practices. I could give you examples like many years ago also, but this one just being that it happened so recently, I needed to take everything out of my closet and go through it all. And my mindset was that I was going to purge absolutely everything. I was going to follow my own rules. If I hadn't worn it in the last year, it was out of there. If I didn't like it, if it had a broken zipper, a missing button, any of that, I was going to get rid of it. And I can say I purged about 75% of my wardrobe. And we have large closets in our house. All of the bedrooms have big closets, so we don't have like dressers in our bedrooms. Everything is in the closet. And it took me a day and a half. And if you are someone who is not used to organizing and it's going to take longer to make decisions, it would take much longer than that. But I dedicated this time. I kept putting it off. I knew for about 6 months, I really need to do this. I need to work on my closet, but I kept putting it off. And finally, I was like, enough is enough. And to find the time, now we can't always find the time like in this big chunk like I did, but I said no to everything that came up for this weekend. And I was like, this is the weekend that I'm going to get my closet done. And I had a soup in the crock pot for our meal. And that wasn't going to take any time, like dinner prep. I had all kinds of things figured out so that the only thing I was saying yes to for my time that weekend was going to be dedicated to working on the closet. And it's done now. And it's been, I can't remember if those 2 or 3 months ago, but it's done. And every day I go in there to pick out my clothes, and I am so thankful that it looks like what it does now. And there are so many less options to have to think about.
And I love that for a lot of reasons. But first of all, like you said, like the decision fatigue, and just like noticing the benefits. But I have things like that, kind of like projects that I just kind of ignore. And then I realize, like, okay, if I want to actually have this change in my stress level or whatever it is, like having that intentional time put aside. But I think the problem is, at least I deal with this issue, is I say, okay, I'm going to do this, but then I have a hard time, like what you did. I have a hard time saying no, like to the other stuff, like, okay, well, this means I'm going to not do, ABCD because I'm going to be focusing this intentional time. And I feel like that's one of the issues with the women that I work with. They're like, okay, everything's really overwhelming. It's really chaotic. I want to declutter. I don't have the time. And even if we are breaking it into these 15, 20 minute chunks, you do have to be willing to say no to other things or to shift things. You can't be doing everything that you were doing before if you're going to prioritize the, decluttering and organizing. So I think that's a really good example. So thank you. And it shows that we're human, right? It's not like we are these decluttering experts and we never have to do it ourselves, right?
Yes, of course, our lives change, and what we need and what we use as the years go on, it's going to be different. It's not going to look the same that it did a year ago or 5 years ago. And so we have to adapt as that happens, and then be intentional with what are we keeping, what are we getting rid of. And a little refresher is much different in terms of decluttering than when you have to tackle a big project for the first time.
And one of the other things you talk about a lot is intentional routines. And I love how you explain the difference between having these habits, which might be unhealthy habits or not serving us, and that, and having an intentional routine. Because people sometimes think, like, okay, I'm doing something the same way all the time. Isn't that a routine? Well, it might be, but it's not an intentional, helpful routine. So let's take maybe we'll just stick with the decluttering, for example. If people are finding that they just keep bringing stuff into their house, but it's going on the kitchen counter, it's going on the dining room table, everything's the Amazon packages are just by the front door. They don't even like make it inside. And they're realizing, like, okay, this is really chaotic. How do you explain kind of the difference between like that unhealthy habit of not doing anything and kind of shifting that to an intentional routine? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So going to the Amazon packages, you order things, and it's made life so much easier for us. We don't have to go to the store with the click of a button. The things that we need show up at our house, but then we're left with the packaging. And it's not just the box, it's those little air plastic things that come in there. Like, what are we doing with all of this? And so it's easier just to take out what we need and use it, and then you leave the box. And so if that is the routine that you're in, that is your habit. You're doing the same thing every time that you are getting these packages delivered, or maybe 90% of the time. But your habit is something that is actually creating more stress for you, more overwhelm. It's giving you something else to do at a later date. So instead, you have to consciously think about what would be an intentional way to solve this problem so that these boxes aren't always in my way and aren't adding to the stress and the visual clutter in my home. And I love to use the timer trick with things like this. Set the timer for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and you are going to break down all of the boxes and put them in the recycling can, take them out of the house. Any other packaging materials, you're also going to get rid of those. So whether they're trash or recycle, get it all out of the house, put it in your trash cans outside, or if you have a really large amount, you might actually need to take it to a dumpster somewhere, depending on what that looks like in your home. But spend the time that the timer is going until that timer goes off. You're only focused on that. You're focused on that one task. And then we have to set up the habit or the routine going forward. So the new routine would be you open the package, you take out what you want, and you break down the box at that time, and then you take it outside to your recycling can, or you have, if you have one in your kitchen or wherever. But when you think about, okay, this added 15 seconds to me opening this package, then you never have to spend that 15 minutes once every other week. You're actually saving yourself time by doing it in that moment.
I also love, and I've heard you talk about this in some of your podcast episodes, that when we're setting that timer for the 10, 15, 20 minutes, that we're not getting distracted, like you said, from the one task. So I've actually worked with clients in person, and I'm sure you have too, where it's like we are trying to declutter something and then they end up getting distracted. And they're like, oh, I'm putting this back where it belongs in the bedroom. Oh no, look at all this clutter that's in the bedroom. And it's like, no, like come back, come back. So one of the tips that you had shared that I think was really helpful is whether it be for that packaging example or decluttering or whatever it is, that you're doing that one thing. You're not like bringing things back to their homes. You're just like, focus on the thing, and then when the timer goes off, then you're done, and move on to the next thing. Because I feel like the distraction piece is so huge because we're constantly distracted all the time anyway with our phones and the all the things we have going on. And so if we actually are like, yes, I can spend 10 minutes to declutter, then actually like do the thing rather than kind of going this way and that. I'm sure you've seen that with your clients too, right?
Of course. And I mean, we can all think of things that we would rather be doing than breaking down boxes or cleaning or, whatever that is. So I think just quickly, one other thing that you brought up was, what about like your kitchen counter? It becomes a dumping ground. When with the box example, that is, you're doing one thing. That's a very specific. And so it's like you see the boxes, they're right in front of you. You have to break these down. And when it's done, it's done. But if you think about your kitchen counters, if they become a dumping ground in your home and they have an assortment of things all over them, that's a little different. And that is an example where the timer really is something that you can use that is extremely helpful, because you have, like what you mentioned, the sidetrack piece. Okay, this goes to your son's room. All right, well, let me take it into there. And then this goes into my bedroom. Oh, a friend left this. Okay, now I need to text her and get this back to her, let her know that it's here. And so you have all of these things, not to mention there's probably some dirty dishes. Now, do you start the dishes, or do you going and waste your time on the dishes? It's very intentional with the fact that you're not going into another room. Get a basket or some type of a container and put everything that doesn't belong on the kitchen counter in that basket instead of taking it to those rooms at that time, because your job is to get that kitchen counter clean and clear, and you only want the things on there that are supposed to be on the counter. And then you might have a little extra time, so then you start the dishes, or then the next time you have your 10 minutes or in the evening, then you do your dishes and you get that part all done, dishwasher loaded. And then after your timer goes off, you have time to return the things to the rooms, but you're not wasting time. You're using your time more efficiently, and you're breaking it out into little pieces to make sure that you complete a task from start to finish.
And there's so much like pride and sense of accomplishment when you can actually do that, like complete an actual task, because it's so common, especially in motherhood, that you have like kids that need things and then you get distracted. And I just feel like that is one of those quick wins. Like I can actually, do this. And When you were talking about intentional routines earlier and how it's really like kind of solving a problem, and you're kind of looking at, okay, what problem do I need to solve? And then what can I develop a routine around? I know you talk about daily routines, but also weekly routines and monthly routines. And one of the weekly routines you talk about that I think is incredibly helpful for people to feel like their week is going smoother and they have more time to focus on what they actually need to do instead of feeling behind is your weekend routine. And I would love it if you could just kind of dive into what that weekend routine maybe looks like for you. And I know you have a freebie that can help our listeners develop their own weekend routine, because this is an area, I'm going to be honest with you, where I kind of struggle. Where like aspirational Emily is doing all the planning. And then real Emily doesn't. And then it's like Monday, and I'm like, So could you go into the steps of your weekend prep for the next week routine, please?
Absolutely. So I think sometimes when we think about like, oh my gosh, we're going to come up with this weekend routine and we're going to have these 15 things that we need to get done. And I'm going to do this every weekend and I'm going to be on top of it. And everything is going to be perfect after I implement this. And the reality is we're making little changes. So like one thing that is on my weekly routine is we have the little Roomba robot vacuum thing, and it, drives around a couple times a week, but I always forget to empty it. So that is one thing that is on my list to do. It probably takes 2 minutes and it's very simple, but it's on the list and I can pull that up on the notes app of my phone. And it's just the things that I want to make sure that happen before the week starts. And so that's something that's on there. Another thing is really with meal prepping, and probably not in the sense that most people are thinking of it, but more for what needs to go in the lunch boxes. Do I need to cut up vegetables, wash them? Anything that needs to be prepared, I put in individual containers and then they're in a specific spot in the refrigerator. So I don't have to do that during the week. I can just get those out and pack the lunch right before or at in the evening before the next morning. So the next morning, all you're doing is grabbing that lunch box out of the refrigerator and they go to school. So things like that, it's really time-saving things. One big thing is to go over the calendar for what is coming for the next week. And sometimes I do this on Sunday, sometimes I do it on Friday for the following week. It doesn't have to be a regimented time at the exact same time on the exact same day every week. You fit it into your schedule with where it works because our lives look different. You could have one weekend that has birthday party and sports and all kinds of events, and then you might have another weekend that is more flexible. So fit the things in where you can, but no, these are the non-negotiables that have to be done before I go to bed on Sunday so that I'm prepared for Monday to begin. With really small kids, like one thing that I used to do with my daughter is have her pick out her clothes for the week. And then we would put those in a thing that hung in her closet. So each day of the week had the outfits. And then you never have to worry about not having sneakers on a PE day or not having a instrument if it's like a band day or, whatever that is, an after school activity where you need something extra. Then you're already prepared, and the kids can be more independent because they can go to their closet and get their own clothes and know that they're wearing what they should be wearing for that day. So just things like that to prepare us for what is coming up so that we can have less decisions to make as the time comes, whether it be in the morning or whatever is happening throughout the upcoming week.
Yeah, and I really loved your recommendation as far as like looking to see what's going on with the kids' school for the upcoming week. For example, we had a snow day yesterday.
So did
And
we.
that, and then it was supposed to be like a spirit week this week. And I like my kids are not super into it, but I totally forgot about like when they got on the bus after a 2 hour delay today. I'm like, okay, I'm just glad you got on the bus. Like But if I had planned in advance, I would know, oh, this is like school spirit shirt day. And then it would have been kind of laid out. Because what I tend to do is I'm remembering like as they're going to the bus stop, and I'm like, oh, whoops.
Mom fail, but yeah, those are great. And I know that you have, and I love the name of this because you talk about R&R, for the weekend, the weekly refresh and restock freebie. Can you just tell us a little bit about that? Because I'm going to link it in the show notes, but I think it's such a cool idea so that people can really brainstorm and have some flexibility with like how they want their weekend routine to look like.
Sure. So that really it's R&R, you can say like the refresh, the restock, because you're resetting for the week. Or if you're doing that nightly, you can come up with your own R&R for each night, each week, each month. There's different things that we just need to get done. And what it is, if you go to the link, it's a download and it has a list of the things that I do for the weekly and the monthly. And then there's also a blank template so that you can create your own. And then when you're starting this as a new routine for yourself, I would recommend not overwhelming. Like you don't want to come up with the longest list possible. You want to do things that are actually going to be a positive change in helping you be more efficient and not forget things that are coming up. So make a couple things. Maybe that's four or five things for the weekend that you want to make sure you do. It might be grocery shopping. Some people want to get that done on the weekend. Some people need to do that during the week. And you can customize this to you. And that's exactly what I want you to do with it is make it so that it is specific to the needs of your family right now in this season of life. And then if it needs to change next school year or in 2 years, you just modify it for the needs and the problems that you're solving at that time. And then I love it when you say, unless you're a paper and pencil type of person and you want to like put it on a bulletin board, save it as the screen of your phone so you can refer to it, and you'll only need to do that for a couple of weeks, and then you do these things automatically because they replace what you were doing and they become the new habit. So you get into this groove, you do it for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden this is just what you do. You're not thinking about it anymore, but you have these routines in place that are helping you and making you more efficient and just move you through the day or the week with ease.
I really love that tip as far as like having it be the screensaver for your phone. So that's really fantastic. And my phrase of the year for 2024 is 1% change or 1% better. And I think that's so important where it's not like, okay, I want a new routine and you implement like everything. Like you can just, like you said, start with the one thing until it kind of sticks and then move on to the next. But you can prioritize, like you said, what's most important to you based upon your pain points and kind of what's bothering you the most. During the week, that's like stressing you out. So this is so incredibly helpful, Lauren. You think you talk to someone and it's like, oh, it can't get better than that. And then you just come and outdo yourself. So thank you for coming on the show. And can you just let everyone know the best ways to connect with you about your podcast and anywhere else you want to connect with others?
Sure. So you can find me at the Intentional Edit podcast. And then if you have a specific question that I can answer, then I try to answer all of the messages that I get on Instagram. So I go in and check my direct messages every couple of days and respond to those. So I'm at Intentional Edit on Instagram, and I will respond to you if you have a specific question that I can answer for you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for coming on the show again and just really appreciate your insights and expertise. And so thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a lot of fun to talk to you.
If you like today's podcast, here's what you can do. Just take 30 seconds to leave me a review. I know you're a busy mama. You're overwhelmed, in fact, but 30 seconds of your day makes such an impact. I'll be blessed by your words. They'll definitely make my day. And who knows, you might be entered for this month's giveaway. An Apple Podcast, scroll down to write a review. Thanks so much for your time. I'm so grateful for you.